Next case is 07-126, Episcopal School of Cincinnati versus Richard Levin, Tax Commissioner.
Your Honors, if I could reserve the remainder of my time, I would be greatly appreciative. This court created the prospective use test in cases such as Holy Trinity. The prospective use test, which you all created, was designed to allow an entity to prepare to use its property for an exempt purpose. There is no statute allowing an exemption for prospective use of property. There is no statute allowing an entity to only use property prospectively and be exempt from taxation. We're here today because a Board of Tax Appeals confused the two-prong test that you developed in Holy Trinity, and it confused it with tax lien date, which is used for purposes of valuation of property for taxation. The two-prong test that this court developed says basically in both prongs that the entity must be actively working towards the exempt use and should achieve that exempt use within a reasonable time of the filing of the application for exemption. Now, clearly that did not happen here because, as the Board of Tax Appeals noted, by the time the application for exemption was filed, the applicant, Episcopal School, had effectively abandoned all attempts to use the property for the exempt purpose. Both of the prongs of this test in Holy Trinity are quite clear. Prong one is that the owner owns the property on January 1st and is actively taking steps towards towards using it for the exempt purpose. Prong two is that the owner of the property must not only prove that the owner is actively working towards this exempt use of the property, but also the owner must prove that within a reasonable time of the filing of exemption, the property will be used for the exempt purpose.
Ms. Katz, since Trinity, we've decided a couple of cases in which the precise issue that's before us here was not presented, but in Westside Dutcher and Christian Benevolent Association, we did refer to the lien date as the critical date. Why should we not apply those later cases here?
Your Honor, I have to apologize because your mic wasn't close and I didn't quite hear the question, so I apologize.
Since Trinity, we've decided two cases in which we have referred to the tax lien date as the critical date for determining liability for tax. Why should we not apply those cases here?
Your Honor, you decided two cases relating to 570908, governmental property, which is distinct and different from charitable or school. The biggest difference is that, as you noted in Carney, the library case, your first case developing this prospective use, you're using public benefit money for the purpose of a public benefit. And that's what happens when you have a governmental entity that owns property and is using the property. Here you have a charitable entity that is taking steps towards using property for the exempt purpose, and it never quite makes it all the way. So this is totally different, and that's what you said in the People's Chapel. That's what you said in Operating Engineers. There has to be reasonable certainty that there will be an exempt purpose at the time that the exemption application is filed. It's important so that the public is not paying taxes to the private entity for steps it tried to take. It also prevents sham transactions where someone is trying to use property and then takes actual steps to develop it.
Isn't that a factual issue that the board can determine? whether it's sham or not.
That is correct, and that is certainly not what the board determined, but the board did determine that the use had been effectively abandoned by the time the application for exemption was filed. And I think that is a critical issue, because all of the cases that this court has decided, with the exception of the two cases relating to governmental property, are saying that there has to be reasonable certainty, that's the key word in there, reasonable certainty that the property will be used for the exempt purpose by the time the application is filed. And
I thought that at the lien date, January date here, that there wasn't any question that the taxpayer intended to develop the property, but that because of conditions outside the taxpayer's control, they discontinued that effort. That doesn't sound like sham to me. It sounds
no,
like...
Your Honor, this is not a sham transaction. This is absolutely not a sham transaction, because these people were taking concrete and actual steps. However, they ran into an asbestos problem. They totally underestimated the cost of transforming this huge building in Mount Adams into a school, the thick walls, the asbestos, the cost of renovation was underestimated. They didn't get the financing that they needed. There were all sorts of problems that cropped up, and they did take actual steps. Whether this is sufficient or not as of January 1st is a different question, and I don't think that question is really before this board. But what is before the board is the fact that the court is the fact that that they had effectively abandoned everything by the time that the application was filed, and that you can see this abandonment slowly growing through the months before the filing of the application. You can see it in February. According to the board's facts, when the individual who had been hired to manage this suddenly disappeared, you can see it in April when the staff, the key part of the staff, disappeared, and in June when the rest of the staff disappeared. You can see it in the testimony, which said essentially that the facility had been mothballed in November.
Council, isn't it appropriate to look to the what was the status as of January 1st? And then the application flows from that status. Would you disagree with that?
Your Honor, I think it's a two-prong test. And it's two-prong when it involves prospective use. I would say you are 1,000% correct if the entity is actually using the property. And that's the difference here. If they had been actually using the property, if they had a school, we wouldn't be here. Since they were only intending to use the property and taking steps towards that, we are looking at what were they doing at the time of the application.
And the application date was when?
The application date was in December of 2001.
So I guess you would have us write that if the application is made for exemption and it's a fait accompli at the time of the application, that we use the January 1st date, and if it's not, we use the date of application to retroactively or retrospectively look at what's transpired. Is that what you're saying?
Your Honor, that's exactly the test that this court created in Holy Trinity, used in Operating Engineers, and used in several other cases in the past. And we're asking for you to affirm the test that you developed for situations when an entity is taking steps towards using the property. Now, there is also an alternative, and that alternative is that at the time these cases were decided, Holy Trinity and the other cases, there was no retroactive statute. For example, now you can file for an exemption and you can get 3 years back. That didn't exist at the time this court developed the Holy Trinity test. In fact, in earlier cases, such as in re-exemption of Ohav Sholom, what this court did was bridge the gap when an entity was exempt and then it did some renovation of property and it came back in and was exempt, because prior to in re-exemption, that period of time had gone back on the tax list. As you all know, the court is following 57-1508, which clearly says every year you look at property to see if it's used for exempt purposes, and if it's not, it goes back on the tax list and is taxed. Here, the property was never used for the exempt purpose. And the board stated that as an express fact, that the Episcopal school had abandoned any attempt to use the property before applying for the exemption. And there was no attempt to use this particular property for the school after that period of time. There may have been attempts to use other property, but we're looking at the exempt purpose of this particular property, no other property. And because the BTA confused this part of the Holy Trinity test with the traditional use of January 1st for valuation purposes, we are here. The cases that the Board of Tax Appeals used to back up its decision are not really on point. For example, Christian Benevolent expressly denied the use of the prospective use test when there was a statutory problem that must be met before an entity could be exempt. The BTA granted the exemption based upon only the first prong of the Holy Trinity test and negated the importance of the second prong, the status and the use of the property at the time of the filing of the application for exemption, and the reasonable certainty that this property would actually be used for the exempt purpose in a reasonable period of time. The BTA granted the exemption because the school had taken some steps by January 1st, by tax lien date. It ignored its own findings as to the status at the time of the application for exemption. For that reason, the tax commissioner respectfully requests the court reverse the BTA and affirm the standard of Holy Trinity. Are there any questions, or I'll reserve the rest of my time?
Do you distinguish Holy Trinity on the fact that the property was actually used for the exempt purpose, and in this case it wasn't?
Well, definitely Holy Trinity was actually used, and this court developed a test because at that period of time, you couldn't file for an exemption and say, hey, 3 years back, I'm planning, look, I actually made it. At that time, it was every year. So this court said, we recognize that you have to raise money, get your plans, line all your ducks in a row to make something that's a dream into a concrete reality. And it developed that test. And I think in People's Chapel, which followed and was in the 80s, you recognized looking at property from the status of being in an exempt use of the property. At that time, you look back and you saw the steps, and then you gave it the prospective use test. So here is the problem. The property's never used. And I think, although this case is not...
I see a factual distinction in Holy Trinity where just everything that you recounted brought to fruition the exempted use. And in this instance, there never was an exempted use. And in fact, the property was sold for a different use.
Justice O'Donnell, I think you are 1,000% correct that is a major difference. And I think this is the first time this court has heard a case such as this one.
So counsel, phrased differently, are we talking about when this application for the tax exemption for proposed use, when it accrues? And the question is, does it accrue on the tax lien date of January 1st, subject to, you would say that it's subject to defeasance because there's been an abandonment at the time of the application. Is that what you're trying to tell us?
It's something like that, Your Honor. It basically that when you are saying not the actual use, or not using this building as a school, as
but, but they have the right to ask for a tax exemption because there is the intent to use it.
Well, that's the question, if they have the right to ask for a tax exemption. If they are taking only steps and they fully abandon it and never use it for the exempt purpose, that's the question. We say no. It's according to this case, the court's precedent and all the cases that have been before it, the answer would be no.
Thank you. Thank you, Ms. Katz. Mr. Daner.
Honorable Justices, after spending $7 million, hiring staff, preparing to create an Episcopal school, we now face a $100,000 real estate tax bill to which we object. That's why we're here. And the Board of Tax Appeals has said we're entitled to one. Let's start with the fact that this court has consistently held, and so has the tax commissioner, that it is the tax lien date, not a date of application, that applies. The tax commissioner in this very case said, evidence of preparation efforts must exist as of tax lien date for the year the taxpayer is requesting exemption. That is this case. It is only in this court that you are urged for the very first time to take the application date. This would reverse well-understood real estate tax law in Horn books and in repeated decisions of this court. It would also reverse the Board of Tax Appeals' consistent rulings as recently as May of this year, where a Sylvania church, not a government entity, came to the Board of Tax Appeals and said, we bought the property, we're using it for a tax-exempt purpose, we're working towards our purpose, and the Board of Tax Appeals said, tax lien date, you bought it 20 days after the tax lien date, too bad, you'll have paid taxes for the full year. This court held the same thing in Cleveland versus Limbach, where this court faced the exact question that the Chief Justice raised, which was, does the remission exemption statute apply like the valuation statute? And this court unanimously held that it did. That's the Cleveland versus Limbach holding, 1988. Now, that was a case where the user had bought a park on January 26th, tax lien date, January 1. And Justice Locher concurred. He said, that's the law. I wish it weren't. I would please, with the General Assembly, reverse that. Would it write a statute that said, let's use the application date, because then somebody who was beginning to develop a park for 11 months plus would have been entitled to a tax exemption for the year. Legislature has not acted. This court held the same in Christian Benevolence. That is not a government case. That's a private case. Tax lien date. Freshwater versus Belmont County, this court said, quote, crucial valuation date for tax assessment purposes, close quote, is the tax lien date. I don't believe there's any dispute other than the oral argument in this court. And I repeat, the tax commissioner himself said the tax lien date applies.
How should we distinguish Holy Trinity? Tax commissioner relies on Holy Trinity.
Yes, and I think, like my worthy adversary, they both misread it. Let's look at the syllabus in Holy Trinity. Holy Trinity says that a religious institution that purchases vacant land for the purpose of erecting a house of worship thereon is entitled to have such land exempted from taxation where such institution is actively working toward use of such land for the public benefit. There is not a second test. There's a semicolon. And here's what this court said. And the intent to make such a use of the land may be evidenced. Doesn't say must be evidence, which is what my worthy adversary is urging you to say. It says it may be evidenced by a showing that plans had been prepared and funds were available or were to be available to effectuate actual construction within a reasonable time from the filing of the application. There's nothing in Holy Trinity that says you have to prove you build it. That would eliminate the prospective use test that this court has consistently applied. And this court unanimously ruled in the Saponic case. Let's pause about what Saponic was. Saponic was where the taxpayer had bought property to build a hospital. two tax levies were rejected by the voters. They didn't have the money to build the hospital, but they continued to hold the land for the purpose. This court unanimously held tax lien date. You're still holding it for the purpose that is consistent with tax exemption, and so you get your tax exemption.
But I think, Council, the focus of the opponent is that the abandonment issue here.
Yes.
And all of the cases that you have cited, there was a continuous intent, whether it was fulfilled or not, there was not an abandonment to take into consideration, and there was not an abandonment in Holy Trinity. They actually followed through. And I know that Holy Trinity says that you look at the application date and the reasonableness of the project being completed in relationship to the application date, which is silent then as to what you do with the lien date. They're not even focusing on that, probably because it's a given. But address the abandonment issue.
Yes.
In the interim from the tax lien date to the application date when that has been evidenced.
Yes, Justice Conner, let me address it head on. Factually, the record is not in dispute here. There was no abandonment in the year 2001. And let me cite you to the supplement, page 22, transcript 81 through 82, where the Archdeacon Hennessian stated that the purpose of having a school on the property remained until November 2002, a year later. That's the evidence of the Archdeacon. The evidence of the Chief Financial Officer, Patricia Hassel, was as of the entire year, 2001, everyone still wanted it to happen, including the bishop, who could have put funds to it had he chosen to. Now, 11 months later, November 2002, the property is sold. The abandonment was November 2002 on this record. Now, the statement of the Board of Tax Appeals, which is urged upon you as a finding, is gratuitous because the Board of Tax Appeals is using the tax lien date. Application date isn't an issue, as I might suggest is not really an issue in Holy Trinity. It says you may evidence the tax lien date, which I agree with you, it was not an issue in Holy Trinity, but you may prove that you're taking active steps if at the time of application you're taking active steps. Well, why would that be? Well, the application date is always after the tax lien date. If you're still taking active steps, of course you're taking active steps as of the tax lien date. But what the tax commissioner in this court is urging you to do is now to create an application date test that it's not in any case at all.
Counsel, wouldn't we have to take a different view of Holy Trinity and excise the section that relates to the filing of the application for exemption?
No, Your Honor, because remember there's a semicolon, and what does it say? It says you may evidence that you were taking active steps by showing you're doing it at the time of application. It says may.
The intent to make use of the land.
Exactly.
So we're looking at the application date to talk about the intent. And I question the statement that by April, the intent to do anything relating to the school was not there. Wasn't there evidence in the record that the project manager had left, that the financial arrangements had fallen apart, and that there was no prospect for additional financing for the school, which was before the application date?
There were riots in Cincinnati the summer of 2001. There were issues. The stock market was down. And there were issues that were happening. The planned opening of the school in fall of 2001 did not occur, but the undisputed evidence in the record, and again, I invite you to please look at supplement at 22 and supplement at 27, is that the purpose continued, that there were still considerations of how to use the school. For example, they were thinking of teaming up with the art museum, and much was going on, and it was not until the fall of 2002, according to the record, that the decision was made to sell the school.
Isn't it more than intent? Don't we have to see evidence of plans being made to actually effectuate the use of the property? And what evidence is there regarding the plans rather than simple intent?
I'm holding it. It's our supplement. There are plans for the school, $7 million being spent, people hired. This is why we offered the supplement, in addition to the evidence in the transcript. If $7 million is not active steps, I don't know what else one can do.
Counsel, let me ask you a question by reversing the facts here a little bit. Let's say on the lien date that the diocese had no intention of developing this into a school. But in June, they get the idea that this would be a really good thing, and the money comes, and they don't have the problems with the asbestos in the walls, and they start up their school. Under the current law, would they be eligible for a charitable exemption for that year when the lien date is already passed?
That's an excellent hypothetical. If they do not own the property on the tax lien date, they're out of luck.
No, let's say they do own the property.
Okay. If they do own the property, I'd have to ask you this, Your Honor. Why did they buy it? Churches and charities do not, and governments do not buy property to build casinos or office buildings. They build it consistent with their exempt purpose. And I would suggest there is confusion in this court's opinions mm-hmm. about what the real test is. Now, Holy Trinity uses the actively working language. But if you look at Suponic, it doesn't say that. It says you must acquire with a purpose. That's what Suponic says. And your exemption continues until the ultimate purpose is abandoned. Now, that's this court's language in Suponic. I would suggest a much simpler, straightforward, clear, too bad if you're too late, too bad if you're too early, clear, consistent, across-the-board rule is what you said in Suponic, that if you acquire with a tax-exempt purpose, you're exempt until you abandon that purpose on a tax lien date, and then you get removed from the rolls. That would be a simple, straightforward matter where charities would not be before you 6 years after filing an application. Thank you. If there are any other questions, I'd be happy to answer them.
Thank you, Mr. Daner.
Thank you, Mr. Chief Justice.
Ms. Katz, you've used your time, but you may take 30 seconds.
Your Honor, let me just quickly point out that Holy Trinity was not the only case. You had People's Faith Church, Ohio Operating Engineers. These cases said reasonable certainty at the time of the application. Let me also say the tax lien date is very useful for pointing out how the exempt uses in place for purposes of taxation are not in use. The test of Suponic is not a good test for a charitable entity or for a school, because it's not the only time an entity buys property. And this entity happened to have bought property for good reason. But there are possibilities of buying property and just sitting on it and abandoning it and using it for something else. This is not a good test. In Suponic, you have a public entity buying property for public use. Let me just note also that in the Holy Trinity, on page 4 of my appellant's Episcopal Schools brief, they say clearly, the Holy Trinity, it says a religious institution which purchases vacant land for the purpose of erecting a house of worship thereon is entitled to have such land exempted from taxation, where such institution is actively working toward the use of such land for the public benefit, and the intent to make such use of the land may be evidenced by showing that plans have been prepared and funds were available or were to be available to effectuate actual construction of such house of worship within a reasonable time from the filing of the exemption. So that points it right on the time that the exemption is filed. Also, if you look
you
at
need
Christian,
to sum up. You're well
time's
beyond
up.
Your 30 seconds.
All right, thank you very much.
Thank you, Ms. Katz. The case is submitted. You'll be advised of our opinion.